Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once again to Food for the Journey. I've been speaking these last days, I've been speaking about perhaps the way I could summarize it is to say to see this life here, humanly, on this earth, to think of this life as the prelude to life eternal, that really you are going to live forever. Believe me, your body will die, but you will live forever. And the question is where? And that's why I want to say to you, don't end up regretting that I went through the motions, that I gave Lord, well, I went to Mass, I went every Sunday. Does love minimize? No, love maximizes. Love pours itself out. And in our love for God, which the Holy Spirit seeks to enliven in us, it's to say, Lord, not, oh, do I have to do that too? But an attitude of, Lord, how can I love you more here that I might be with you for all eternity? It's in all the little hidden ways. It's not in the big things. I mean, there are some big things, of course, but it really is in the little everyday things. Do I give my life to God? Do I seek to draw closer to him? Do I thank him? When I'm in difficulty, do I turn to him first? Is he part of my daily life? Or is he relegated to Sunday? God does walk with you. Do you know his presence with you? And I'm not talking about catching a glimpse of him, but that your mind is oriented to the reality that I am not alone, that my Savior, my good shepherd, walks with me to seek to bring me home safely to the Father. That's your life. That's your journey. Our whole life is a pilgrimage, in a sense, that we might be with him forever. Forever. So as you listen to these readings, just keep saying to yourself, okay, what's the one biggest obstacle right now that I can see? What's the biggest obstacle to my drawing closer to the Lord? Then we'll see how God leads you and guides you. And we'll say a lot more about that in later programs. But I just want to say the readings, they're always good, but the readings here particularly do speak to us about the decisions that we need to make. You don't just drift into heaven. You've got to decide for it. First reading today is taken from the second letter of St. Peter, chapter 3, verses 12 to 15, and then 17 to 18. Beloved, wait for and hasten the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved in flames, the elements melted by fire, but according to his promise, we await new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells, where sin will be gone, where righteousness will cover us. Therefore, beloved, since you await these things, be eager to be found without spot or blemish before him, at peace. And consider the patience of our Lord as salvation. He's patient with you, giving you every opportunity to experience the grace of eternal salvation. He waits. He is patient. Therefore, beloved, since you are forewarned, be on your guard not to be led into the error of the unprincipled and to fall from your own stability. In other words, don't give in to people who don't have any firm foundation, who just have a good idea for the present moment, and we start following them and we're hopping here and there, and there's no order to our lives. There's no direction to our lives. We want to be in a place that while the Lord is patient with us, that we don't want to be led into the error of the unprincipled. Those who have no foundation, have made no decisions, do not understand the purpose of their lives, don't follow them, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory now and to the day of eternity. Amen. We want to be in a position where we're saying throughout the day, I don't mean every moment, but periodically throughout the day, we just stop. Could be 60 seconds. Just stop and say, am I living for the glory of God? Am I living in such a way that I can draw close to him? Am I willing to put aside my own ideas for his will today? Or we just take stock a moment. How did I handle that conversation? It was good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your wisdom and help. Continue to lead me. Just stopping throughout the day, making contact with God. Thank him. Petition him wherever you need help. But engage in a conversation with him. He's right there. No, you won't hear an audible voice. That's where faith comes in here. And yes, things need to be tested by those who know you well. Don't just assume that every thought you have comes directly from the heart of God. It might not. So we need what's called discernment to know what is good and of God and what is not. And sometimes we can be fooled. That's why a good spiritual director or a regular confessor is so helpful, because you can ask. You can get guidance. Again, the second letter of St. Peter says, therefore, beloved, since you are forewarned, be on your guard not to be led into the error of the unprincipled and to fall from your own stability, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory now and to the day of eternity. Amen. And Psalm 90, in every age, O Lord, you have been our refuge. Before the mountains were begotten, before the earth and the world were brought forth, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn man back to dust, saying, return, O children of men, for 1,000 years in your sight are as yesterday, now that it is past, or as a watch of the night. 70 is the sum of our years, 80 if we are strong, and most of them are fruitless toil, for they pass quickly and we drift away. So, Lord, fill us at daybreak with your kindness, that we may shout for joy and gladness all our days. Let your work be seen by your servants, and your glory by their children. Lord, may we walk closely with you. May we see in part at least how you're acting and what you're doing. May we draw close to you, very close. That's how we need to pray. Psalm 90 is a very good prayer. In every age, O Lord, you have been our refuge. Let's make sure that's true in our personal lives. Do we turn to God in every circumstance? And the gospel according to Mark chapter 12, verses 13 to 17. Some Pharisees and Herodians were sent to Jesus to ensnare him in his speech. Look at that. The Pharisees and the Herodians. What do you do when you're in opposition to somebody? You try to get a lot of people together with you so that you can work in opposition. Are you sure that you want to make an enemy out of that person? Are you sure that that person really is an enemy? Or is it just that they humiliated you by what they said to you? That was true. But your pride is so hurt, you react to them. There's so many ways we turn God's action away from us. What we want is what the psalm tells us here. Fill us at daybreak with your kindness, that we may shout for joy and gladness all our days. Let your work be seen by your servants and your glory by their children. In other words, let my life be such that it brings blessing to others. May people get a hint, a small hint, yes, but a hint of the glory that awaits us. Brothers and sisters, God dwells in you and God wants to work through you. Please open your heart to that reality. Please don't just think of your human condition. That's a part of you, but that's not all of you. It's not even the most important part of you. It's your soul which will last for all eternity. In Mark chapter 12, verses 13 to 17, some Pharisees and Herodians were sent to Jesus to ensnare him in speech I know I've read this to you before, but I want you to hear it again. They came and they said to him, "Teacher, we know that you are a truthful man and that you are not concerned with anyone's opinion. You do not regard a person's status, but you teach the way of God in accord with the truth. Is it lawful to pay the census tax to Caesar or not? Should we pay or should we not pay?" Now, what they're trying to do is trap him into saying something that they can tell him is wrong, and then they can denounce him. They're after him. And knowing their hypocrisy, he said to them, "Why are you testing me? Bring me a denarius to look at." They brought him one. They're a little curious. They brought one to him, and he said to them, "Whose image and inscription is this?" And they replied to him, "Caesar's." So Jesus said to them, "Then repay to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God." Are you doing that? Do you repay what belongs to Caesar? In other words, the law, government. Do we pay what is due them? And do we pay to God, in a certain sense, what belongs to God? What belongs to God? That you give yourself to him and ask that he activate all the graces of baptism, communion, confirmation in you. He has given to you first. Give yourself to him in return. First step. Second step, give him adoration, honor, obedience. Thirdly, bring to every circumstance in which you live, bring the presence of God first and foremost. Bring his comfort. Bring his challenge. But you first have to yield to it yourself. You can't give what you have not received. So you need time with God to grow in speaking to him about your shortcomings, your sins, your weaknesses. Speak to him about the blessings that he has given you. Thank him. Praise him. Do that every day. Then ask him, "Lord, use me so that others may come to know your love." And then be sent out, in a certain sense, by God's Holy Spirit to live the gospel, not necessarily to preach it. People don't listen to words, but they do pay attention to actions. They do pay attention to acts that you do. Brothers and sisters, you're a child of God. You grow into a disciple of Christ. And he needs you. Think of all the people, and I don't say this in terms of casting guilt on you, but honestly, how many people has God put in your path that he wanted you to lead them to Christ? But because you're not opening your heart to Christ, you have nothing to give. I don't say that to make you feel guilty. You simply say, "Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I didn't see, I didn't understand, or I was too selfish. Will you please forgive me?" And then say to the Lord, "You gave me life, and I want to return that life to you by serving you on this earth and by praising you forever in heaven. Will you lead me? Will you show me? Will you teach me?" And then give God every day, if you can, a half hour. You say, "Oh, but you'd find a half hour for other things." So give him prayer every day that he might lead you and guide you. May God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I want to offer you a new free booklet entitled Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. That booklet is available to you simply by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or go to our website, renewalministries.net.